God work right there, doing nothing more than smiling. Like you're doing right now, honey. That's God work. And you see, God work is always nice and fun. And the lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight, you'll know what I mean. She walks about this earth plane with this smile on her face that nothing could get off, and yet her life has not been altogether easy. But she just reaches out with that big smile, and whenever you're around her, you feel better. I got to eat with her tonight, except she didn't eat. She'd already eaten. But, well, I got to eat. And she's just there smiling. Every time you look at her, she's smiling. Now, it doesn't mean that she doesn't have some complications here in her life on the earth plane. We all do. Don't we? Don't we? Yes. Oh, good. I got a few complying. But she just carries a smile that's a million-dollar smile. And she's getting ready to spend more time back in Utah than she is here. But it's okay, because she's going to help her mommy. Her mom's getting old like some more people I know. But get ready. Ready for that smiley, beautiful face. It's our Celeste. There she comes.
Thank you, Millie, for letting me come up here again and share my thoughts, my feelings, a little bit of my journey. Like she always says, please take only what feels right to you. Throw away the rest. I'm going to make this kind of interactive. I'd like everybody to think about something for me. Just play along with me for a second. I want you to think about if, for some reason, you only had one color that you could use for the rest of your life. And I want you to think about what that best color would be for you. Just think about what that best color is for you and why you're picking that color. And hold on to that. We're going to get back to that a little bit later. So tonight I'd like to talk to you about a thought pattern that I've had for most of my life, but I never realized until I started coming here. And that is one of understanding and empathy. Most of my life, for as long as I can remember, I've always had empathy to be able to see and speak for both sides of any situation. Like in high school, I was on the debate team, go figure. And my teacher used to tell me all the time, he loved that he could put me in any situation, any topic that we had, and I could go for either side, whichever side he needed. I didn't really think much of it. For me, I was like, okay, sure, I can talk about any situation, but give me the side that I really felt passionate about and watch out. I was relentless. I was going to sit there and debate you until you went along with whatever I had to say, whatever I thought, because I was right. Another funny thing about high school is that I always spent my free period in the guidance office. I hated going to study hall. It was just a waste of time to me, and I would always just go hang out in the guidance counselor's office. To me, that seemed like kind of like a social hour being in there. And my junior year, my counselor said to me one day, she said, she started talking to me about being a counselor when I got out of school. And I'm like, what makes you think that I would want to be a counselor? And she said, well, myself and the other three counselors here have noticed for the past 2 years that every time you're in here, this room is pretty full. And most of the time, it's kids coming in here to talk to you and not us. And I didn't think anything of it. You know, but then I started thinking about it, and she's like, you're not part of any clique. You know, the old high school cliques, everybody was in one, pretty much. She's like, you're in all of them. You're friends with kids that are jocks, that are National Honor Society students, that are in the drama club, the debate team, the choir, the machine shop. And then she even said to me, and even though I tell you all the time not to talk to them, you're even friends with the gang members, which... looking back on now, I think is pretty funny, because gangs where I grew up is nothing like here in California. Kids that were in gangs in my school were pony boy wannabes, if you know pony boy from The Outsiders, who wore leather jackets and carried a switchblade and thought they were tough. And then Sorry. Back then, I never thought about any of it. I mean, if somebody just needed a friend, I was there for them. That's all there was to it. If somebody needed somebody to talk to or had a situation, I was just there for them. And it was just who I was. And I never thought about it. Now let's talk about my four beautiful, amazing, perfect children, right? Who never got in any trouble or fought. That's a mother's dream world, right? When I look back on raising my kids and all the fights that they did get into, or the discrepancies that they had and things that, you know, went wrong in their lives, they always came to me and talked to me, which was nice, or most of the time. And I always would talk to them about their role in it. I never wanted to talk about what the other person did. You know, I'd always get, but he did this and that, and you're not listening, and aren't you hearing what I'm telling you he did to me? And I would say, no, I'm going to talk to you about your part in it. What could you have done differently? What did you do that was upsetting? You know, what could you have said? What could you have? I always wanted to talk to them about their role in it, their part in it. And it drove them insane. To this day, they tell me all the time that they hated that. It would drive them crazy. But that's just who I was. I mean, even now, if friends call me and ask me for advice, I'm always talking to them about their part in it, what they could have done differently. Own what you did, what you couldn't have done, what could you learn from it. And I don't know why, but that's just the way I always was with them. That's the way I always looked at situations. Now, that's easy to say when it's talking about everybody else's problems. It wasn't so much for myself, because it's easier to take care of everybody else and all their problems. It's not so easy to look at your own problems and your own situations. Even though I did have empathy and understanding and trying to figure out what the other side was and what was going on in their world, I did a lot of judging. Ego got in the way. I did a lot of judging and couldn't understand why they wouldn't understand and fall in suit with my point of view and the way I was thinking. And it really, when I started coming here, is when I really had to be honest with myself and look back on a lot of things that needed to be done differently. All the Sunday talks here, all the Wednesday talks, all the classes that I've taken, every single one of them has really forced me to look back at my whole entire life. I've really picked it apart, and I still have more to pick apart. But I've really sat there and just really analyzed everything that I've gone through and how I reacted to situations and why I reacted that way and what could I learn from them? What could I learn from them? Why did it happen? I'm extremely grateful that Spirit blessed me with this gift of empathy and understanding. I just wish I had realized years ago what an amazing gift that it was. And like I said, until I found this church and the thought pattern that Millie's always teaching us, I just didn't realize it. And when I finally did, it really changed my world. It really changed my life. And it took so much weight off of my shoulders. I still empathize with everyone, and I try to understand their story. I don't care how awful that you think someone's behaved, I'm still going to try to understand why and what was going on in their world. Now, some people think that I'm gullible because of this trait, and that's okay because everyone's allowed their opinion. But for me, I really choose to believe that there's good in everyone. And even if they made that wrong choice in that second, in the next second, they can choose to do the right thing or do something different. So I truly never lose hope in anyone. As Millie always says, God is love. And I believe that if we choose to hold love in our hearts, then we choose to be one with God. And there's no greater gift. Now I want to go back to the color thing for a minute. Think about that color that you chose and why you chose it. What did you choose, Christy?
Blue.
Robin? Blue. Carrie?
Blue.
Wow. Trisha? Blue. Wow. Jody?
Red.
Cheryl? Is it Cheryl? Cherie? No. I'm sorry. Did I get your name? Carly. Oh, I got the C right. Green. Mary?
Like magenta, pink, red.
Okay. Who's right? Which one's the best color? All of you. Everyone. Every single color is right because it's your path. It's what you choose. And I have no right to choose for any one of you. And I know that's a simple thing to use as a metaphor, but it's the same with everything that we walk through in life. My life is no longer about rights or wrongs. I love synchronicity because you were talking about that earlier. It's truly about understanding each situation to the best of my ability. It's not our place to judge anyone, but to understand them. Wow. I want to share a Bible phrase with you. It's Proverbs 2:2-4. Someone read this, I wish I could remember who. I think it was Reverend Patty, but I'm not sure, a couple years ago. And it says, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. And when I heard that, it really meant a lot to me. We are not instructed to judge what others have or do, or seek out fame or fortune in our lifetime. Above all else, we are here to seek out understanding of those around us. When I truly started to focus on understanding everyone, my life really began to change. Over time, when I find myself starting to judge someone, I would stop and think, what is it in myself that I am judging right now? What is it in me that I have to heal right now? Because for me, if the only person we are truly allowed to judge is ourselves, then when someone else triggers in us the need to judge them or criticize them, then it's something in us that we need to look at and fix. Millie is always teaching us that like attracts like, and I believe that with all of my being. I believe that we control our vibration and that we decide if we want to take each situation as a negative or as a positive. So why do we continually give our power to someone else? Why do we blame someone else or a situation when we are in a bad mood or something goes wrong? It was so empowering for me to realize and truly understand that the only person I'm responsible for and the only person I can truly judge is me. Nowadays, I still try to understand everyone's situation or their point of view. I still offer my opinion when people ask me, but now I rarely get upset or emotional when someone does their own thing. It's their path, and what they choose is perfectly right for them. Every morning, I listen to Abraham Hicks. And one of the talks about 6 months ago was about the power of 16 seconds. She talked about how every time someone steps into our vortex or our space, we have 16 seconds to decide if we are going to take on that negative energy or that feeling or that sadness or whatever they have, or if we're going to stay in our own vibration. 16 seconds is a long time if you think about it. Now, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes I even have to do a breathing meditation that takes the 16 seconds. Personally, I like the one that you breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4, hold for 4. There's 16 seconds right there. And if I use that, then I definitely don't fall into their vibration. But it never fails me. I'm able to stand in my power and stay in my vibration. And that is what's important to me in my journey. So I challenge you all to practice the 16-second pause for the upcoming month and see how it works for you. Keep your power, stay in your vibration, and truly try to understand what the other person is going through. Thank you for this time.